Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Cy Brown, broadcasting live from New York City. Today is Thursday, September 11th, and I don't know if you can hear the church bells behind me, but it's kind of a somber day here in New York City. There's a lot of, I don't want to say celebrations, memorials, that's a better word. That's a lot more appropriate word. But there's just a lot of memorials going on, a lot of talking about what happened, not really so much reflecting on what happened that day, but really focusing on the lives of the people impacted by 9/11, a lot of remembering the families, and just a lot of reflection. So today on the show, and he never really joins me on the radio, actually, but today I do have my husband joining me in the studio because we want to share with you what we were doing on 9/11, where we were, how it has impacted our family, how it has impacted relationships. And I just think it's very timely. I think it's worth remembering. I don't know anyone specifically who was impacted by the tragedy of 9/11, but I do have a friend, and I will talk about her. I tried to get her on the show today, but I wasn't able to make it happen, to really bring home how 9/11 has affected New Yorkers, not even so much as it relates to, like, what happened that day, but the after effects. You know, my friend and her children, they are having and experiencing ongoing health challenges because they live near Ground Zero. So just all of these things I think are worth mentioning. All of these things are worth sharing. So we're definitely going to get into that. But before we do, I want to go into our daily prayer, and let me flip to it. For Thursday, September 11th, our daily thought from the Hill is, I stir up the gift. And it reads as follows. The book of Timothy encourages us to stir up the gift. Each of us has a gift that lies within us. We need to stir it up and release it so it can bless not only our lives, but the lives of others. We can stir up our gifts by getting still and getting focused on what it is that we really desire to do. The answers are within. Often we seek the answer outside of ourselves, but it rarely comes because we are looking in the wrong direction. Take time to listen and move in the direction you are given. The gift is not yours alone. Stir it up. I stir up the gift that God has given me. I do not allow it to lie dormant, but I use it to glorify God and to bless humankind. My gift is a unique gift that only I can give. Once I stir up the gift, I'm able to see what a blessing it is. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And our scripture reading today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. For it is God who inspires you with the will to do the good things which you desire to do. Do all things without disputing and doubting. And I just know that that's very true. And, you know, we're all gifted with talents, and we're all gifted with abilities, and we're all given something that we can contribute, something that we can use to contribute to humanity. And I think once we really start to use our gifts and really start to exercise our God-given right, life can just be so much better. So I want to, you know, I think that's really powerful, just that today's daily thought was to stir up your gift because, you know, only we can do it like we can. Oh, yeah, hey. Okay, I'm joined by all of my guests. They're hitting me up in the chat room. please don't get me. Can you send how to pronounce your name in the chat room one more time, because I want to get it right today. And I also want to say greetings to Biomed Byline, who just joined us in the chat room. Hello. Our daily thought for today, I just read it, but I'll just kind of refresh what it was I stir up the gift. And it just kind of talks about using your gift to glorify yourself. Well, not to glorify yourself, to edify yourself and to help others. So that's our daily thought for today. Am I not coming through clearly? Can you guys hear me? Can somebody hit me up in the chat room and let me know if you can hear me? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we're just going to jump right into today's show. And we're talking about 9/11. We're talking about 9/11, the impact it had on my life and on my family's life. Hey, Drop-In Seed Radio, I see you in the chat room. Hello. I'm joined by my husband, and, you know, I just want you to hear in his words what he was doing that morning. Unfortunately, we weren't together when the planes hit. We just had purchased our house in Atlanta, and it was funny because we moved in the beginning of August. I'll just rewind it very quickly. The beginning of August, I was working for KRS-One, and he lived in Englewood at the time, Englewood, New Jersey, which is a beautiful area in North Jersey. And I remember telling him, he had just signed on as my client, and I remember saying, Chris, I don't think I can work for you any longer. And he was like, why? And I said, because we may be moving to Atlanta. And he said, are you kidding? We're moving to Atlanta. And in 3 weeks, both of our families moved to Atlanta. So we actually moved into our house. My husband and I, we went down the next week, shopped around. Like the third house we saw, we absolutely loved. We sent in all the paperwork. We flew back down, got the keys, and we literally had the keys to our house on August 23rd. I'll never forget that. So once we got the keys, we came back to New York. We flew back, and we moved our children down. And he didn't come with us that time. I moved into our house with our children on September 7th of 2001. And it was very scary because for the first time, you know, I'm raising two little boys by myself. I had never been alone with my children. And I joke because I put sheets up. We had this huge patio sliding door that led out to this beautiful patio in our yard. But, you know, I didn't even have time to buy curtains. I moved down there and started working right away. And so I just put sheets up across these beautiful doors, and so that's kind of the joke of it. You know, he had to give notice for his job, so his intention was to work in New York and just move down, like, in the beginning of October. So in Atlanta, the kids go back to school a lot earlier than they do up here in New York. In New York, they don't go back till after Labor Day. So when I moved the children down there on September 7th, the children down there had already been in school for 3 weeks. So I was behind the gun trying to get transcripts and shots and get uniforms and all of this stuff just to get them ready for school. So I'm doing it. So finally, like the third day, by like September 10th, they were finally in school. I still had sheets on the window, and I was just starting to work with KRS-One. And where he lived was we hadn't set up our office yet, so I was working out of his home. So the morning of September 11th, I remember I was sending instant messages back with a friend of mine, and he said to me, Saida, a plane just hit the World Trade Center, and I will never forget this. I sent back in the text message, ha, 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 see what happens when I leave New York. And he said, no, Sai, I'm serious. And I'm like, yeah, right. And so we spent the next couple of minutes trying to just, like, he's trying to convince me that a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And so after, you know, banter and joking and stuff going back and forth, another plane hit. And now he's telling me he lived in Harlem. He's telling me helicopters are flying above his house. And I'm like, come on, dude, are you serious? He's like, yo, Sai, turn on the television. And I turned on the TV, and I'm like, yo, I gotta go. And at that very moment, I remember going into a panic, like trying to reach my husband. And I couldn't reach him, and I'm freaking out, you know, couldn't get through. I don't know what everybody thought, but, you know, I have friends. We used to all go to the World Trade Center. You know, I would tell my friends, oh, you want to go out to lunch? I'll just meet you at the Trade Center. Like, it was so part of our life. You know, the train was there. That's where there was a big transfer station if you wanted to go into Brooklyn. The Staten Island Ferry is nearby. I mean, it was just, there were shops and stores and all of these things. And I just remember, like, the World Trade Center is, the buildings may mean something, but it was a part of the fabric of my life personally. And I couldn't reach my husband. Nobody knew. If you can just imagine where you were that day, my friends were probably on their way going to work because the first tower hit, I believe it was at like 8:49. And one of my friends, you know, I finally got in touch with her. She said she was on the boat. There was a little ferry that would take you from Jersey to New York. And she was on the ferry going to the World Trade Center to go to work, and she saw the plane hit, and she was in the water. And they turned the ferry around and took it back to Jersey. So, I mean, just being in Atlanta, everyone was saying, oh, this is a sad day for America. But being a New Yorker and knowing how the World Trade Center was such a part of my life, just as a New Yorker, it really hit home. And I almost got angry at the people in Atlanta because they didn't understand what the World Trade Center meant. I'm just going to bring my husband in and kind of let him reflect on what September 11th meant to him. And then I really want to talk about for the rest of the show how it impacted families, not the economy, not the war in Iraq, but families, because for the first time in many years in our history of this country, family became important again. Son, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, family became important. When I seen that and I couldn't get in touch with my family, I was working myself, delivering some food. I'm a truck driver, and I was delivering some food at this hospital. And like my wife said, you know, someone said, hey, there's a plane hitting the World Trade. So I said, yeah, you're joking. Probably it's a helicopter or something. And at that point, everything shut down. It was so scary, you know, and I was trying to get in touch with my wife to let her know that I was okay. And my dad used to work there, too, in 93 till about 2000 before they even did what they did. But family is very important with that. It brought people closer together, but it shouldn't be all of that to bring, you know, a nation of people close together. It's very difficult sometimes. Like I said, my dad worked there and he retired earlier. I thank God for that, and he's doing very well. And it's just a sad moment at the time, you know. It's difficult for me to deal with it because of it's a sad moment for everybody. I mean, some friends I lost there that I probably don't even know. And it's just what I'm doing now. I'm making it, you know, just making it. And I'm here with my wife today. She got me here on the show. And I'm going to give it back to her so I can get my thoughts together on that.
One of the things that I think I want everybody to know, just really as we talk about September 11th, I'm not speaking from a political perspective, so I want to make that very, very clear. But I look at it this way. For all of those who are in New York, and, you know, a lot of my listeners are in New York, I would love to hear in the chat room what you were doing when the planes hit and how you felt. And I really want today's show to be about the reflection and how it impacted the family. And I'll go into that right now, and I'll explain to you why. I know before the planes hit, my family was on the go, on the go, on the go. You know, I'm going to meetings. My kids were little at the time. I'd grab Burger King and eat, to have them eat in the back seat of the car, and I'm dashing off to a meeting, or I'm dashing here. Come on, kids, let's go. And I have said in the past, for the sake of this conversation, I've had housekeepers and I've had outside help to help me rear my children at times, especially during busier times in my life. But you know something? Like, once that day happened and you realize, like, yo, this can all be over, I think it just became a little bit more real to me on the importance of family, the importance of having a family, and the importance of even connecting with your family. I'm going to share some stories of some of my friends. I have a friend named Carol, and actually Carol is DeJuan's wife, and y'all know DeJuan is the engineer for the show. And at the time, Carol was living up here in Long Island, and I will never forget, Carol actually worked in the World Trade Center when the first attack was on the World Trade Center back in 93. And I remember that day, she and I talked, you know, later on after the day, and she was telling me, like, at the first rumbling, she was gone, you know, because she remembered how it was in 1993. She wasn't even trying to chill. She wasn't trying to, hey, what was that? She was gone. And I believe, if I remember correctly, she made it on one of the last subway trains leaving out of the World Trade Center before they shut the subway system down. And I know everybody's from very different parts of the country that are listening, but if you could ever imagine, like, leaving a when you're driving from a football stadium or something, how there's just, like, cars everywhere, just imagine there's just people everywhere. And she lived in Long Island. She worked in Manhattan, so she had to take the train and then, like, another a commuter train. And I remember she told me she had to just walk, because when she had to transfer, by that time they had shut all the transit systems down. And she finally made it home, and one of the things that infuriated her is her son Malik, who's one of the most darling little boys that I know. Well, he's not little. He's a year older than my son, so Malik is probably 20 now. Oh, my God. But at the time, he was, I guess, let's say, like 13 or something. They told him in school what happened, and I'll never forget, she told me that by the time she got to Malik, he was crying, he was in tears, because of the insensitivity of them telling the kids, oh, an airplane hit the World Trade Center. Can you imagine just being a kid in school, knowing that your mother works in the World Trade Center, and then to hear that an airplane hit it? I mean, it was just a very devastating thing, and I remember her telling me that that Malik didn't know if she was alive, if she was dead, if she was, you know, it was just a bad thing. And so, you know, at that point, she made sure that she was connected with Malik. And I, at that point, had already moved to Atlanta, so I couldn't even get in touch with Carol for like a day or two. But it was at that very moment she was like, I need to, you know, really reconnect. And it's not that we're disconnected, but it just makes you rethink and reevaluate things. And shortly thereafter, she came to visit me in Atlanta, and she ended up moving down there, and that's how she and DeJuan met, and they got married. But I just think it's, you know, that day, we're still feeling the effects of those planes hitting, sans what it did to the economy, sans what it did with us being in war. I just want to read some of the things that are going on in the chat room right now. Biomed Byline said, I was just out of bed getting the kids ready for school. My three little ones were loud, and my friend called me. I didn't take them to school. I had a business associate who lives in Dallas but was in Manhattan doing some filming for our products, and he was having breakfast with an inner-city church preacher, Rick Del Rio, down the street from the Trade Center. See there? Like, the Trade – and people didn't even call it the World Trade Center. They just called it the Trade Center. I called Jeff and heard on his cell phone all the crazy – Rick Del Rio is a minister for New York City Fire Department, and he and Jeff spent the day helping to pull people out. I mean – oh, all right. TrueView Radio said, it was a little after 8, and I was watching it on the news live. I had to sit down because I did not believe what I was seeing. He's in Cali now. TrueView, are you a male or a female? I don't even know. Let me go to your profile. Hold on 1 second. Oh, okay. I see you're a guy. I see the pink tie. Nice tie. TrueView is now in Cali, but he has a lot of family still in New York. It was crazy seeing it, too. I was driving to work and heard it over the radio. Depressed feeling for weeks after. The DJ was known for getting facts wrong, so I didn't believe him until I got to work and found out. I mean, they're just stories after stories. There's a company called Cantor Fitzgerald. And Cantor Fitzgerald, I don't want to get it wrong. I can't remember the floor, but look up the story of Cantor Fitzgerald. Cantor Fitzgerald was run by a really young, like, hip, cool guy. You know, like, it was an investment firm, I think it was. And what happened was it was the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, it was his daughter's first day of kindergarten. And so he did not go to work to the office early that day. He decided to take his daughter to kindergarten. And so he missed it. He missed, like, the whole thing because he was taking his daughter to kindergarten. Well, I believe Cantor Fitzgerald lost the most people. I didn't prepare for today's show. I'm talking, so please just be mindful of my facts. I'm going straight from as I remember it from that day, which makes my commentary, I believe, a little bit more authentic versus me coming at you with where I've studied and all that other stuff. But I'm just saying that I believe Cantor Fitzgerald lost like 80-something people that day because when the plane hit the floor of their office. Okay, TrueView just hit me up in the chat room and said, I remember the story. Right. So now what this guy did, he felt so horrible that, like, he lost almost his entire staff. Like, his company was the one company that lost almost the entire staff. So he has done so many wonderful things for the families. He's done a lot because he felt like, damn, I'm the boss. But if I was just a worker like everybody else, I could have lost my life too. And I remember watching him on the Today Show, and he's a really young white guy. I think like maybe in his 30s or something. I mean, to run such, you know, a very high profile company, but he was just torn to pieces because he's. And I remember him saying, like, if I worked for me, I could have died that day. But because I'm the boss, like, the privilege that I have of saying I'm coming into work late because it's my daughter's first day of school spared my life. So if you just Google Cantor Fitzgerald, you'll see they have been very vocal. They've been very active. They've done tons and tons and tons of things for the people, for the victims, for the families, just because it really, really has impacted his life in a very real and personal way. I have another friend. I told you about my friend Carol and my other friend, Lorianne, who, as I recall the story, said she was in the ferry. She lived in Jersey on my side of the water, and she, from what I understand, she saw the whole thing go down, and they turned the ferry around and took her back to Jersey. Luckily, her son, who, again, is like my son's age, he's probably, Ryan's probably like 18 or 19 now, he was in Jersey, so they were okay. But, I mean, they're just story after story after story, and I want to share one more. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Tiff. Besides on TV, did anyone actually see the planes fly into the building? I didn't because, like I said, I had only been in Atlanta for just a couple of days, so I didn't see it. I saw what was on TV. The funniest thing, my husband said he was on the New Jersey Turnpike, which is like a major turnpike. Is that right?
Yes.
He was on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I'm going to let him tell what you saw. What did you see?
Well, you can see the smoke from New York to Jersey. It lingered in the air for months at a time. I believe it was months at a time. It was a hard time for them to put out that flame, whatever was burning there. But you can just see it, and you looked, and, you know, you remember these two Twin Tower buildings standing side by side. And, you know, that used to be my landmark when I was coming in from maybe off the turnpike. I knew I was getting close to New York when I saw the Twin Towers. but that smoke just lingered in the air, and you can see it for miles and miles away. And, you know, it just made me think, like, you know, a lot of people passed away in that place, you know, not knowing what that day held for them, you know, just walking to work. Like, every day is precious, so you really have to look at it, not just because 9/11. I mean, any day any one of us walk out of a house is not guaranteed for us to come back home. And sometimes we really have to go with that first gut instinct, too. If it tells us, hey, stop, don't go, I mean, sometimes we got to take notice of that and say, hey, stop in your track and don't go, because we don't know what's ahead of us. But there's always somebody, something in our thought giving us a warning about what's going on in front of us. So, like I said, it was a sad moment. It brought tears to me because of other people that has passed there. They had lost family members, friends and sisters and brothers and fathers and firefighters. No matter what the color of their skin was, they still were human beings, you know. And just to see them go out like that, I mean, people jumping out of buildings and just, you know, just debris all over the place. It was a sad thing, and it still is sad to think about it now. You know, it's like I said, the smoke itself lingered in the air, and you can smell it across the water, too. Like, when the wind blew, the smoke went the way the wind blew, so you knew where it was going, where it was coming. So, you know, it was just a mess, you know. It was really a mess, you know.
I'm reading some more stuff in the chat room, and it says, as you guys, I have worked with diabetics for 9 years, and so many blood sugar went up during those months, and people were having a hard time with the stress. My phone was always ringing with scared diabetics and their family members. I also got in the chat room. I had dreams for weeks after that. That's me calling Cy. Oh, you know what? Oh, okay, I'll pick up. Sorry, Tiff. Okay, hold on. Hey, you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling. You know what? I was so busy reading the chat room, I missed that there was someone calling in. Talk to me. What were you doing that day?
No. Well, I'll tell you that. But the reason why I asked about the planes was because, not to take this in a different direction, but I'm really just curious to know if anybody has seen it. I've been looking at some different information, and they're now saying that there was actually never any planes that hit the building, that it was the buildings just exploded. And I've seen this news coverage from when it was live. They had the camera set up, and they were looking at – the camera was set up, and it was off of a helicopter. It was shaky. And the news reporters were looking at it, and they're sitting there talking amongst themselves. And there was no plane, and all of a sudden the building just blew up, and they were like, "Oh my God, the second building just blew up." But when they put it on, and then on the live one, in the background you could see the whole city, like the water and everything. It was still clear. Are you there still?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. And then by the time they had it on the evening news, they edited it. And they turned, they hazed out the whole background, and then they, I don't know what they do in television, but in normal pictures it's Photoshopped, so I'll just say Photoshop, but they Photoshopped in the distance an image of a plane, and then the reporter is now commentating and saying, oh look, here comes the plane, but it wasn't there on the live one, so there. That's what people are saying, is that. There was actually never a plane. And it's interesting because a family member of mine, he was the one who started studying, like, the real truth of September 11th. And he was saying, you know, I travel every year. That's all I do is travel. And I'm always on the road. And I live in L.A. And I'm always going back and forth to New York. And he's like, every time I go, either when I'm in L.A. or out in New York, I ask and say, does anybody know – if there was people, like, did anybody know someone that was on the plane? And it's always, no, I didn't know anybody that was on the plane, but I knew someone in the building. So he's like, I just don't understand if that's the route. The route was from LA to New York. How is it that all these people that I meet, no one's ever known anybody that was on the plane? And I never had thought about that. And that was actually a few years ago. And now I'm just now looking at the information about that there never was a plane. So that's why I was asking.
Well, okay, here's a couple things, and I'm going to touch Tiff on some of the things that we talk about. I think it's pretty sad what happened that day, And BioMed Byline is saying this is a conspiracy. It's crazy. Please do the research. They are saying that our government did this. Please don't listen to this. True View said those were real families. I'm going to say it like this. Nobody is denying that families were not impacted. I'm telling you, people, you smelled. A friend of mine who lives in that area, I went to high school with her. She lives a couple of blocks from 9/11. Her kids have asthma and all these other health ailments that we can never fathom because they breathed in that stuff for months after. So I think the issue is, and I don't want us to discount the lives that were impacted. It's a reality. The planes did, the buildings came down. That's a reality. It's a reality that there are after effects that we can never imagine as far as health. But I do want to say, and let's y'all know with the show, we're very open-minded. Let's listen and take into consideration the thought that was just introduced because, and I see BioMed Byline is saying the terrorists did this. I'm not saying terrorists, no terrorists. I believe terrorists did this, but you also have to look, could the United States be the terrorist? Okay?
Let me interrupt there and say to the people in the chat room, everybody's opinion is valid, but let me just speak for myself. And so for you to tell me that what I'm speaking about is very hurtful to families, no shit. I'm not saying that it's not hurtful to people, but what I am saying is that don't believe everything you see on TV. So as you recommend to me to do my research, do your research as well. And this isn't to discredit anybody's feelings or to discredit any families that were lost. I'm not a terrible person just because I don't believe what was shown on TV. So take your own advice as well and do your research because I've been doing mine. So.
Well, I want to say something too. Being here and me researching everything that I'm searching, trying to be a better resident on this place we call Earth, I looked at the way the buildings fell, and here's where I'm skeptical. Since it's brought up, because that's not the direction that the show is going in, but since it was introduced, I'm going to say I'm going to add something. The world, New York City, particularly downtown, is so concentrated you could never imagine. It's nothing like L.A. where things are spread out. You can have one 50-foot building, and let me say this too, especially downtown by the water. A lot of streets downtown where the World Trade Center was in that particular financial district, a lot of those streets are still cobblestone streets. A lot of those streets still have, like, literally where the horses and buggies used to pull them through. And the streets are very, very narrow, especially, like, down by the stock exchange area. So here's where I'm going. The World Trade Center was 100 stories high, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
The building came straight down.
Right.
Now, here's what I'm saying. We all know. The building came, let's go based on the premise of what we know. We know the buildings came down. We know something caused the buildings to come down. We know 3,900 or almost 4,000 people died. That's what we know for certain. What we don't know is how the buildings came down. And this is why I'm even entertaining this conversation as part of this dialogue, because if in fact those planes hit that building from the 20-something floor, I believe the buildings would have just fallen all over the place, and all of downtown would have been destroyed. If anybody goes to New York City, and I encourage you to do so, the building right across the street from where one of the World Trade Center towers was is still standing.
I went right after September 11th and seen.
BioMed Byline is saying by Washington Square Park. No, I grew up literally a block from Washington Square Park. Washington Square Park is near 8th and 9th Street. The World Trade Center, to walk from Washington Square Park down to where the World Trade Center would take you at least 30 minutes because the World Trade Center is further south past Canal. The World Trade Center is at the very tip of Manhattan on the bottom. Washington Square Park is much further up. It would take me probably like at least a half an hour, probably about a half an hour to 40 minutes at a pretty brisk pace to walk from the World Trade Center to where Washington Square Park is, because you have to walk past Canal Street, through Greenwich Village, and then you start to get into the Washington. Yes, Trueview said the West 4th Street area. Absolutely. I live, that's all Greenwich Village. I literally grew up in Greenwich Village, so I know that area extremely well. Matter of fact, if anybody wants to look it up, in the 80s, there was this missing kid named Eton Pates, and I was 9 years old, and I remember when Eton Pates, P-A-T-Z, went missing, everybody whose parents lived in that area were freaking out, because it was a very high-end place to live, and they were freaking out that, like, all of these, people's kids can get kidnapped. So for the sake of that, oh, Biomed, you're saying I lived in Greenwich Village. I lived on Bleecker Street between Thompson and Sullivan, right above the village gate. So you know like I know. But let's go back to this whole World Trade Center thing. I find it very ironic that the building right across the street, now remember I told y'all the streets are very narrow, had hit, when the planes were hit, that building did not come down. A building that high with that impact, I'm assuming, is going to clear out blocks of stuff, not just those two buildings. So I'm entertaining this because I find it ironic that nothing else was destroyed. Oh, my God, Biomed, you lived on Thompson and Sullivan, too. Oh, well, we were neighbors. We were neighbors, one block over from 6th Avenue. But anyway, Tiff, what were you getting ready to say?
No, I'm just saying the debris from the plane as well. And even World Trade Center number 7 went down with nothing. It just went down. So,
right.
I mean, and it's just funny, like, whenever you bring up information, it's like there's certain people, like, it's because I didn't even come on here like, hey, I have a conspiracy theory. I'm just asking a question, and instantly I get stones thrown at me. Oh, it's conspiracy. Don't believe it. It's lies. And it's just like, come on. You just have to believe what they tell you. And it is important. It's important to know, because there were lives lost. And if someone that we're pointing the wrong finger at did this, then we should know. We shouldn't be thrown that. This has been going on years in history. It's called false flag flying. So I'm just saying, you know, it has nothing to do with conspiracy, so I'm not in that group, and I don't accept that title. It just has to do with the truth, and I was just curious to know, as someone from New York and the people in the chat room that also are from New York, does anybody know anybody who is in the plane? That was just my question.
Yeah, I'm Saida's husband, too, and you know what, too, what bothers me? They never found any plane parts.
They didn't. And, you know, immediately after the planes went down, they went around to all of the hotels and all the buildings around that had cameras set up, and they confiscated all their footage and told them that they weren't allowed to speak. And it's just like, if everything was on the up and up and it was what it was, then they should want people to speak. Because if there really were these terrorists running around out there, then people should speak and say what they saw. So if not, then what's there to hide?
Right, exactly. I agree with that.
And the people that they talked about in the plane, it was like maybe three women. And it was one lady who said her son was on there, one lady whose husband, and I believe someone else who said her boyfriend was in there. And they were the only ones who ever got any footage. Even if you watch the World Trade Center, the movie, they still based it off of those same ladies. And they were the ladies who told the story, yeah, my husband, he was on there, and he called me on his cell phone, and he said, there's terrorists on here, and they have knives. And, honey, we're going to go bum rush him, and I love you, and hung up. And that was the last time I ever heard from him. So, come on, like, out of all those planes, there was a plane in each one of the buildings. There was a plane that hit in Pennsylvania and a plane that hit in the Pentagon, and they only found three or four people to come out and speak about it. That doesn't strike anybody as odd.
You know something? I want to touch on the plane that hit in Pennsylvania. Does anybody know that they never found any bodies from the plane that hit in Pennsylvania?
I believe that.
There was never any body recovered. And some people are saying that that plane that hit in Pennsylvania was shot down out of the air.
Hmm.
That the plane was shot down out of the air. That it wasn't a terrorist. That it was shot down out of the air. True, you say, yeah, I agree. I mean,
It's just like with all this technology that they have, you mean to tell me that four planes went away that day and nobody was able to stop them before they ran into three of the most prominent landmarks in the United States? Like, come on, that doesn't even sound right. That doesn't even sound right. I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. And to not question that and to believe what's told to you through them, like, yes, it's very hurtful. Like, it's hurtful to me to believe that my government could have orchestrated this. I'm a United States citizen just like anybody else, and that's hurtful to me because at one point I had my trust in the government as well, or whoever. Someone definitely had a hand in this. And so it's hurtful to me. It's hurtful to me that there's hundreds and thousands of people now being killed in the Middle East because of this problem that our government created or could have created. That hurts. Our families here in the United States that lost their lives on that day, yes, it was very hurtful to them, and yes, it was very hurtful to everybody else who had to witness it. But don't stop there with the hurt. Look at the people now, the soldiers who have been sent off that are fighting for an unjust war because something that we could have caused, the people who can no longer live their day-to-day lives because our soldiers are over there and are bombing innocent people and killing innocent people because of some false flag flying. Don't let the pain stop. Keep going, because there's people today that are still losing their lives unjustly because of what happened, what was it, 7 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah.
So,
We just got a comment that says it boils down to money. You know, we have a caller. I'm getting ready to pick up a caller from 718. Just give me 1 second. But you know what, when you look at how this whole thing I use the word orchestrated very carefully, but if you look at just how this whole thing went down, just look at the whole series of events and look at where we are now. We were hit. You know, the towers came down. Then we went to war. What is the result? What is the result? And I saw one of the commentators this morning say, we can't even stop bad jalapenos from coming into this country. What makes us think we can stop terrorists? Well, it just says, I listened to a firefighter who was in a tower and almost died tell his story to me and a few friends 9 months after 9/11, and I cried because of his story. I agree. I agree with all of that. None of that is being disputed. But now that we're mentioning it, let's just see where it goes. Let me bring in caller from 718. Caller, are you listening or you want to have a comment?
Well, I'm a little behind on exactly what direction you're trying to ask a question or people to comment on. Can you brief me a little bit?
We were just talking about 9/11 and the impact that it has on families, and how it's kind of, you know, how families have reevaluated their family values because of 9/11, and it started how we lived in a very dot-com world, very progressive, very just fast-paced, and because of 9/11, it made people say, wait a minute, let me reevaluate my family. Let's play Monopoly on a Friday night. We're not promised tomorrow. If I heard we're not promised tomorrow one more time, but it's always been we're not promised tomorrow. So, That's a fact, but because of 9/11, what impact has it had on the family? And because this is an open show and an open forum, the thought, the concept of what really may have happened with those planes and the towers on 9/11 said, hey, let's really make sure that we really know what happened that day. And I just want to say one thing before I ask for your comments. That if anybody ever saw the movie, has anybody ever seen the movie Wag the Dog? There was a movie out called Wag the Dog. And what happened was there was a president who was caught in a scandal. And to deflect attention from his scandal, this guy who was a Hollywood studio producer fabricated this war. And it showed how they created it, how they showed it on the news, to deflect the attention from this president and this scandal. So that's really what we were talking about, and now here's where we are right now. So would you like to add a comment?
Sure, why not?
Thank you.
I think as far as people getting back to their values, that goes to show you how offbeat people were under the delusion that everything was okay, first of all.
That's right.
Everything wasn't okay before 9/11, and now that it's, the wool is over people's eyes after this tragic incident, is definitely coming home to roost now. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, but in the same token, before we become all patriarchal and all of that stuff, I think we're entitled. You know, people have been asleep so long, it didn't need proof for anything to proceed with any type of war or any type of a bombing of a country or whatever. Where's the proof? Where, you know, black boxes just don't disappear.
And okay. Now, can I ask just, I see 718. Are you from the New York area? And, like, what's your name?
John from New York.
Hey, John from New York. How'd you find out about the show?
Well, I was screening through the blog talk thing, and it listed a number, so I decided to call and listen to some certain people's perspectives on how this whole 9/11 thing went down. And basically, I'm shocked to find that no one is asking to see concrete evidence of anything, you know, and every question that comes out is all of a sudden labeled as conspiratorial. I think that's a great detriment that you could put on another man is labeling as a conspirator and not answering his concern.
That's right. Well, they did. There was a group of women. I think they call them the Jersey women or something. And they were their husbands and their family died in the World Trade Centers. And they pressed the government. They're the ones who went out there really hard and tried to press the government to give them information and to do the 9/11 commission. And they basically pacified them with information. And it really came down to, we don't have to tell you, and that's just it.
Oh,
and
that's the
when
problem.
I'm sorry?
That goes to show that the checks and balances that the people has supposed to have on their public officials were being ignored. Everybody was, out for their own selfish intent or in some type of survival mode. I don't know. But
because those are our servants. The government is our servants.
Exactly.
And they're supposed to serve the people. So if we want to know something, there should never be a point where they tell us we don't have to tell you what we found. That's not the way the system was set up.
Exactly.
And they keep bullying us to make it that way. And I just look at it like, well, who has something to gain from this? Who's gaining? Look at all the things. I mean, I look at my vehicle registration, and they want a dollar towards the 911 fund or a new tax or the airplane. You can't even fly now. Everywhere you go, I call up my cable company. Well, since 9/11, who's gaining from this? The companies are gaining from this. And the companies are the lobbyists that are a part of this whole system. So they gain because now they can tax the people for this. And they get to be over there fighting for their war, for their oil.
Well, that's what they mean by war is profitable. But I think it's very important, even more or less than finding out who's profiting, is what are the rules in relationship to how it's all supposed to be governed. What are the rules? I don't think anybody really knows the rules. I think everybody's under this presumption that they understand how government is supposed to operate and go on with their presumptions of what's at fault and who's at fault. But there are rules. There are concrete rules that public officials are supposed to follow that it appears to me that the people are not informed of to put these checks and balances back into perspective and to concrete these American family values. By knowing the rules alone, not only knowing the rule by rules, I'm talking about anything federal, why not? They supersede all state and local laws, so why not understand and know them? And then, you know, after you teach your child those rules and how to govern and what in particular to look out for, I don't think you're going to be protected until that's the case.
That's right. I agree.
Well, here's the thing with the rules. You know, once you learn the rules, they change the rules.
Right.
No,
so
as far as I know, you can't change the rules if it's a law. How can you change a law overnight unless you got a two-thirds majority vote in Congress? That's not possible. We're talking about not rules. I'm talking about the laws themselves.
Well, I think we're never going to – I don't think we'll ever successfully make it past 9/11. Call me a pessimist, for whatever
reason. We've already made it past it. It's 7 years later, for Christ's sake. But
right,
as far as the backlash –
look where we are economically, as a country. Look at the family. I think we're a lot worse now than I was pre-9/11.
First of all, it's a credit society now, and if we were using more credit than cash, then I guess we were doing that before 9/11, right? So we were on that road long before this thing ever happened.
Well, I think I think it's just a matter of perception, because we all know perception is really what reality is. It's just how you see it, and you can use that to make your reality what it is. I don't like the fact that all my information I put on MySpace, I put on Facebook, I put all these things. You know how easy it is to find someone now? Just go to their MySpace. What is happening with all of that information that's being gathered? My name is Saida, which is probably one of the most Arabic names you can get. And I'm on a terrorist watch list, and I was born in New Jersey. And I said this on the show before, when I travel, they go through all of my books. They go through all of this other stuff. And for what? And they want me to tell you the irony? If you really tried to get something through your luggage, you could do it. Because my son accidentally took something that should not have been on the plane, and nobody caught it. And when we got to where we were going, I'm like, oh, my God, that shouldn't have been on the plane. Now, it wasn't like a knife or anything like that, but it was just something that they would have confiscated. You can't even bring a bottle of water through. We are living in a post-9/11 world that is very intrusive.
Yes.
That is further intrusive. You remember, even before 9/11, there were victimless arrests out there. You understand what I mean? What can be more intrusive than that? You know what I mean?
I think it's a lot more blatant, so maybe I should say it that way, because now they just don't care. Now they're like, look, we're going to find out, and this is how it's going to be, and that's how it's going to get down with the get down, whether you like it or not. Oh, BioMedline, I see in the chat room you've got a boogie. Thank you for joining. Oh, my goodness, I didn't even realize we're down to the last 8 minutes of the show. Wow. Okay, you have to take your daughter. Thank you for joining us. And she said also, great show, Tiffany. Tiffany, you just added a whole new flavor to the show, and I thank you for that. And everyone's just saying goodbye, but we still have 7 minutes left. Chill.
No, I'm just genuinely concerned. You know, this is part of my own research as well, and so that was just, you know, a genuine question.
Mm-hmm. You're like me. You're exactly like me. We want to know. We want to see. We want answers. I have a natural curiosity that I swear one day is probably going to, you know, may do me in or something, because I always want to know, and I've always been like that. I want to know how things work, and I want to know why we do the things that we do so I can better understand. I want everybody to check out my blog, because I'm going to blog about this today. My blog is cybrown.blogspot.com. And the tagline for my blog, which is Life Remix, says, just rethink everything you know about everything you know. And I really stand by that. I really, really stand by that. Rethink everything you know about everything you know. You
can't do it without knowing the rules.
What'd you say?
You can't do it without knowing the laws, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. Are you still in New York?
Yes.
Are you still in the New York area?
Yes.
How has 9/11 impacted you?
Well, I guess it in a way, not directly, but in a way, it kind of solidified the fact that family is foremost and prominent, you know.
Right.
If nothing else, but I do see a negative backlash from it. I don't see neighbors talking. Neighbors out.
Wow. So do you think? Well, you know what? We're down to our last 6 minutes, and I want to throw this out so we can talk about it real quick. Do you think 9/11 has divided us more along racial lines, or it has actually brought healing and brought people together?
I think it made people take a look from holding their heads down for so long. It made them finally take a look at what's important, what is a true value, and so forth. Hopefully it makes them look in that direction, because that's where they strayed from to begin with.
But then I also think people are very, very, like, New York has all these things in the subway and stuff. If you see something, say something. If you see, now we've got people on the lookout for terrorists. We don't even know what a terrorist looks like. Timothy McVeigh is
right. A terrorist now. That gave them the right to call anybody a terrorist. Like,
exactly.
I would probably be considered a terrorist because I'm questioning someone's intentions. So it's like anybody's a terrorist. Initially when it happened, I lived in Las Vegas. And it was like when September 11th happened, the camaraderie amongst people was just crazy. Like, wow, hey, that guy on the street waved to me, or the car let me go in front of them. And it was like people actually joined together, like we became one. for a very short time, and then it went back to everybody stopped caring about the average person. So that was my view on it. But it was just like, you know, initially it's like people were getting together outside, painting United States flags on built like on the side of the road or whatever, and it was just different. You know, people, everybody was going through the same thing, so it was kind of like a death in the family. You know, amongst the family, you kind of treat each other nicely the day of the funeral or when it originally happens, and that's how it was then. But it was only for a while, and after a few weeks, it went back to getting flipped off on the road and get out of my way. You know, just the normal way that people treat each other today. So I think it's very sad that it takes such a tragedy to make people have camaraderie amongst each other.
Well, I have to say, I was very angry and I said this at the top of the show, I was very angry at people in Atlanta because everybody started hanging flags on their porches, and they talked about it in my son's school, and there's a sign of unity, but they didn't understand what the World Trade Center really, really meant. The World Trade Center, they looked at the coming down of the Trade Center as a sad day for America. I looked at it as from a financial perspective, and we didn't even touch on that. Maybe we can do a part two of this tomorrow. I would love to, on the financial impact of those planes coming down. Because look at the currencies, the world currencies, look at the World Bank, look at all of those things. It's a lot more than let's all come together in unity under our great nation. There's a lot bigger implications with those buildings coming down than what meets the eye.
I would love it if you did a part two, because I actually myself am not even familiar with what the what the World Trade Center was for. When it came down, I was young, just a normal young working person, so it was kind of like when I got on to go to work, everybody's like, oh my God, the World Trade Center came down. I'm like, what's that? Still don't know, so. That was a good show.
You know, all right, so just for the record, everybody, we're doing part two tomorrow, but let me tell you something else. I know a man who, a guy who worked in the World Trade Center. There was a train, the E train, E like Eric, that went through all of Queens, through Midtown. Queens is to the right of Manhattan. So imagine this train traveling left, and then south. The E train traveled through Queens, through Midtown Manhattan, down to the World Trade Center. So it was kind of like left and then down. And I remember this guy told me years ago, if anything ever happens in this city, it's going to happen at the World Trade Center. Because that E-train took all of these people that worked through Queens, right through Midtown Manhattan. It was like a little insider joke that if you lived along the E-train line that you had a little bit of money because you probably worked in the World Trade Center. There is so much money that flowed in and out of the World Trade Center, it would make our heads spin. And when we were attacked back in 1993, people kind of shook it off as, okay, it may happen, or, you know, something bad could happen. But I think that was a test for what was to come. We're down to 1 minute on the show. I'm going to read our closing prayer, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who listened. And we are doing part two tomorrow, and I want everybody to study the World Bank and kind of look up the financial implications of those buildings coming down, because we're going to talk about it tomorrow for the full hour. Just know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. And thank you so much for joining, and we are doing part two of this show tomorrow. Talk to you later, everybody.
Bye.